Hi, my name is Molly Sossaman. I'm 43 years old. Today is Thursday, January 9th, 2020. I am speaking with Neil Specht, who is age 65 years old. And my relationship to Neil is we are fellow members of the American Beekeeping Federation. We're recording in Schaumburg, Illinois at the 2020 American Beekeeping Federation Conference and Trade Show. Neil, I understand that you have a story about beekeeping that's fascinating, and I would love to hear your story.
Oh, I love telling stories. I'll tell you mine. So I'm a prairie farm boy from Etonia, Saskatchewan, Canada. I have been grew up and live on the same family farm when I was about 11 years old. Five or six, I can't remember. Grade five or six, I saw a National Film Board movies that are they're Canadian government educational films. I saw one on how bees' eyes, the compound eye, was used in navigation so they could land on flowers. And the other one was about the bee dance, and I was how bees could communicate and make collective decisions on foraging. And I was totally fascinated how an insect mm-hmm. could have language, mm-hmm. and their decision making. Today we know that that same decision making applies to how the swarm decides on which home that they're going to go to. Mm-hmm. They collectively send out scout bees, then come back and they decide as a mass of people, as a mass of insects that are female, they mm-hmm. all get together and can make a decision that they're all going to one place, and they all collectively do. And I think that mm-hmm. now I'm still concerned about how we as people could learn from a diverse group of insects belonging to one whole can mm-hmm. make a decision and go one place. So that was the start of my, as a young boy, decided I would, one day I'm going to have some of them mugs and look at them some more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it took another 10 years until we married and had the farm on our own to invest in our first beehives. And through that farming not going out, panning out, I mean, we grew in the beekeeping business as a hobby, and then from there to a good sized sideline. So mm-hmm. we developed over two colonies, became 10, two became 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Got a very good lesson at the year 64 mm-hmm. colonies. We had a 10 pound crop failure, and learned to be a little more, I wasn't quite as educated in beekeeping as I thought. Through that same time, the growth continued up to about 300, 350 colonies. We're from an area where beekeeping is not common. It's a wheat area, and so we always laugh about the production of wheat honey, which is very rare. It's non-existent. It's a joke. I'm sorry. It's all right. At that time, the grain farming was through the 80s, very high interest rates. The grain farm suffered dramatically because when we married, my father had passed away, and so I was willed the family farm machinery and mm-hmm. a very small part of the farm, mm-hmm. not very small, but a portion of the farm, but my large family each got land. Mm-hmm. And they didn't need land, they needed money, and I thought I would buy their land. But through the 80s, the high interest rate meant that I couldn't continue grain farming. But my bee business had been built on just paying for itself, and we wound up living on what that 300 colonies could provide. And it was sort of less than the poverty line by a little bit.
Okay.
So we struggled through that time. The bees, I guess through that time, struggling with the farm, we were approached by one of the hybrid canola seed producers when he was doing his first research project, his proof of concept. So the Liberty Link canolas that exist in the world today, I did that first field pollination. So I'm getting back to wheat honey. I couldn't make a living on honey production because it's a bad area, very dry, and not a lot of honey to be gathered. Our average crops were in that 100 to 120 pounds, which isn't economic for that area. When Tom Schuler approached me to would I pollinate his proof of concept garden plot for the first Liberty Link canolas, we said, well, sure. I mean, we're looking to make some more money here, and this looks like fun. So it was a good proof of concept. And the next year he asked for 1,000 colonies. We said, well, sure, we'd love to, but I can't buy that kind of colony count unless you give me a multi-year contract. So we've developed a three-year contract, and we grew that year for 1,000 colonies, and the next year he asked for 2,000. And so we grew again on these contracts. So I was the largest custom pollinator in Saskatchewan for many years running. And then the seed production for that company and the other companies moved into Alberta, into the what's called the St. Mary's Irrigation District, and it's runs from Calgary through to right to Medicine Hat. And so we took up we decided we wouldn't move into Alberta because of the diseases that were associated with the brothel of custom pollination. There's just way too many beekeepers sharing diseases. We thought we could avoid it. We'd had our business paid for. We didn't need to move pollinate. And turned out that it was rather more difficult than we thought. And we we decided that we would move into Alberta with I should back up again and say that our business has grown from just living right on the Saskatchewan border and keeping most of the bees in Saskatchewan to a large portion of our colonies being on the Alberta side, primarily to service. So we now service most of the contracts in Alberta. So we move about today 4,500 colonies go on trucks to pollinate the hybrid canola. And I guess through that time, I've done many things with bees. I'm past chairman of Bee Made Honey, which is a large packaging co-op, who packages today about, when I started on the board of directors there, they were packaging just over 10 million pounds. When I finished, they were just under 20 million. Today they're running 22 million. So it's about an 18-year process that I was with them as chairman for 9 years of that. And through that work, I've been on the Saskatchewan Association's board of directors. I've been on Honey Council through that time with the Saskatchewan board, then served on the Alberta board of directors for the Alberta Beekeepers Association, then commission, and through that I've served on Canadian Honey Council many times. And so with Bee Made, had an opportunity to travel to Japan and Korea and different places in the U.S. We have plants in Winnipeg and Edmonton. A large, diverse group of people then had the opportunity to be involved in packing and selling honey to those markets.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a, the bees have been very good to me.
That's so good. That's amazing.
Yeah. And in the end, we lost the grain farm in that transit, that same time when we were losing, growing from the 300 to 1,000, that was the years we had to decide if we could keep the farm. And we couldn't keep the farm for financial reasons, but also the labor. We just, there were many grain farmers' neighbors that needed land to make their payments, and we needed labor and just the ability to truck bees. So our grain farming equipment became beekeeping equipment. Our emphasis became rather, instead of communal, provincial, and the wider organization of shipping honey around the world. It's just, it's been really good to me.
Yeah. So I just, really quickly to follow up on that idea, if you were, so now that we're in the future, looking back at your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to think about for the future? Anybody who's listening to this, who's questioning whether, you know, am I doing what's right for me? What could you be telling your 20-year-old self about where beekeeping is, has taken you?
That's a two-sided sword. I mean, there's two, good and bad there. We came from needing something and wanting to stay in my community. I'll tell another good story.
Okay.
Through the time of high stress and not being able to pay for our loans, couldn't make those payments, high stress, I wound up with cancer. It was a very curable cancer, but through that time, in the spring, I had chemo trait that the chemotherapy tries to kill you, or everything that's growing quickly in your body, and you get very ill.
Mm-hmm.
Come that spring, mm-hmm. my neighbors put my crop in. I mean, the next morning, I couldn't walk across the yard. They just asked me, which bins is, where is it going, Neil?
Wow.
While we still owned that land.
Mm-hmm.
The next day it was done. There was 10 farmers came in.
Wow.
The day after that, fertilizer and Avidex was all on. So I can't leave that community. So I needed something. I have a grade 10 education. I'm not skilled to go get a job off the farm. This is my life. So I took beekeeping because it had a potential to make wages and to pay. Mm-hmm. I knew what 300 colonies would do. So upsiding that and growing has been relatively easy because I knew where that margin was, and it was mostly on your back. It's backward. So the decisions I made to go into bees were learned from not having other opportunities.
Okay.
But also a love for the bug. It's interesting. In those days, we did not have varroa, we did not have viruses, we didn't have Nosema serrana, and monoculture was still, it's still trying to find diverse biology for the bee so that it does well. It needs that. So telling my young self, it was a no-brainer. You got to do this, Neil. But it was also a gift because they're such interesting creatures. You can spend, what do they call that? You're with this organization because you understand the affliction that we have with that bug. We can't get away from it. I've got verbal dysentery if I start talking bees, just like now. It just blah, 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 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommend bees as a very deep well, but an interest, a hook for anyone. Mm-hmm. It's not that they sting, it's that they communicate.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. What else do you want to know? I can go on for hours about other things.
I would love to know. Yes, there's the affinity. What's your very favorite? What is your very most favorite thing about the bees?
If I can open a beehive...
You had to pick one.
When I open a beehive in front of someone that doesn't know, that... someone that's never been there. Well, it's true.
I love that answer.
Because it's the time with the bee, but teaching you or showing you what they are. Mm-hmm. And what that honey is. I mean, just taste the stuff. It just that first taste from the comb is the hook. Mm-hmm. You can't get past that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky too. I'm very fortunate. I have a 6-year-old who is so happy that I do what I do, because he's an absolute honey lover, and every time I come home with a jar of honey, it's like party time. So I'm with you. Well, I see the honey and I see the bees through his eyes is really interesting.
Well, the health benefits. There's a reason I believe honey is medicine, and it needs to be on the shelf for sleep. And I'm currently working with the University of Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. In Saskatoon, the Department of Nutrition and Pharmacy is a combined college, and we're currently working on sleep studies to prove honey for the pharmacy shelf. Mm. Not a nutraceutical, mm-hmm. but a medicine, which is what honey should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of those things in the pharmacy are considered to be honey flavored, lots of it's corn syrup, but they're honey because honey is a medicine, and through time everyone knows that, but it's not modern enough for our FDA, or in my country the CFIA, to put it on that shelf. And it's an expensive shelf to be on. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get it there.
So what do you see yourself doing in the next 10 years?
I'm retiring as a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. I've got managers. Mm-hmm. But family is somewhat involved and may become involved. But I am long into this. I'm funding research. I've got $40,000 plus into it, and into getting honey on the pharmacy shelf as medicine.
That's your priority.
That's right now.
That's amazing.
And it will be packed in the future by BeeMate. I'm still a member of the co-op. I ship them $500,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh my gosh, Neil, this has been so enlightening. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and thank you for being at the American Beekeeping Federation.
Yeah.
And
I met one of your keynote speakers, and I'll give her a plug right here.
Yes.
Her name is...
Dr. Barenbaum.
Yes, Dr. Barenbaum. Well, we just had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And
lovely.
she's hoping to be somewhat involved in that research.
Good.
She's offered to act as a resource.
Great.
For our university.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you connected. Great.
I was just about dancing off the ceiling when I talked to her.
Oh, wonderful.
We had a great visit.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Neil. Thank you for everything, and I'm so glad that you're a part of the American Beekeeping Federation.
Well, this is a good organization. The research group and the research that is shared at these places is very... It brings tears. It's okay. A good deal.
All right.